Hey, today on the Barry Ferris Show Culture Shift, we have Alex Clark. She's the host of Poplitics, a wonderful, fantastic person. You're going to enjoy this interview. Welcome to Culture Shift, the Barry Ferris Show. We are living in an American culture that has shifted from tolerant to cancel culture, from decent to rude, from optimistic to cynical, and from relatively safe to increasingly violent. But it's not too late. I hope to equip you with a historical framework applied to current events so you can lead and get America back on track for good. Hey, welcome back to the Barry Ferris Show, Culture Shift. Today we have a fantastic and really fun guest. You know, our goal here is to shift culture back to what's good and just and true, and stuff that's more wholesome is just way more fun. Anyway, so speaking of fun, sort of the definition of fun, joining me today is Alex Clark. She's host on Turning Point USA's daily show on pop culture, Poplitics. Alex is crushing it in this space. So we've got her today, and what a blast. So Alex, first of all, what's your story? I mean, I know in addition to the blessing of being a friend to both my wife and my daughter. So what was it like to be you growing up? And just give us a little visibility into you.
Well, I grew up in southern Indiana, right across the river from Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Ohio,
yes,
river,
yes.
Area.
Yeah.
And I was very involved in high school in radio and TV.
Okay.
Those
right.
were the electives that I chose to pursue. And
radio
was always super fun for me, but I didn't think of it as being necessarily a career choice.
Okay. Right.
I just liked it.
Sure.
And so right before I was going to go away to school, I was going to pursue a career in fashion. I heard my favorite morning show hosts in Louisville, Kentucky, talking about how they were looking to hire an intern. And I just wanted to meet the host.
So you thought, I'm going to do this.
Yes. And I just wanted to meet them so bad. And so I applied to be an intern, get some college credit, get some gen ed out of the way, and then I thought I'd go away to school.
Fantastic. Good thinking.
Well,
very economical.
I was 18.
Very efficient.
Exactly. And I was 18 years old, and I had been an intern at this radio station for 1 month on this morning show, and they just said, Alex, I think that this is what you're made to do. I think that you should reconsider your
wow.
career choice.
That is fantastic.
And I remember just being like, well, I don't know anything about radio. I mean, I talk on your show or whatever, but I don't know how to turn a mic on. And so I said, okay. So they said, audition for this spot. If they pick you to be the sidekick on their morning show, it was the pop radio morning show there, then you should do this. If you don't get it, then go away to school, you know, pursue fashion. I just thought, okay, well, no brainer. I know I'm not going to get this job because I don't know anything about radio. And I applied or auditioned for a few weeks, and they ended up choosing me. And long story short,
that's awesome.
That I was 18 years old. That was the beginning of a 7-year career in radio,
wow.
in pop radio. And I was hosting morning shows. I went on a dating show.
Wow.
And the whole shtick of me being on this dating show on Fox was that I was the conservative. And they just, you know, I think they thought that I was going to be the villain.
Right.
And everyone ended up really loving me, so I think that was funny. And then they had to change the producers had to change their game there. But that was my first taste of, okay, I have this platform, I love radio, I love media, and I also am really enjoying this new spotlight of having more attention on the fact that I'm conservative.
Now, that was my next question. How did you become a conservative? Or were you always kind of a conservative?
I was always kind of conservative.
Okay.
The house I grew up in was a conservative Christian home. Politics was really, it was really common for us to discuss politics, watch news together. You know, I grew up listening to Rush, the great, who we
yes,
just lost.
Yes, I know.
Great
grew
guy.
Up
listening to Dennis Prager, Laura Ingraham,
okay.
you know, her show. Like So
you were really educated and
mm-hmm.
sort of built up and trained on freedom principle ideas. And you came from a part of the country which is a little bit more leaning toward freedom ideas anyway, right?
Right.
So did you have in your school age days, did you have any persecution for that, or were you pretty much supported?
I just didn't talk about it that much. When we had to discuss politics in class and stuff, it was obvious when I would give my viewpoint that I was more right-leaning.
Sure.
But it just wasn't the same political culture as it is now.
Okay.
I mean, I graduated in 2011, so it doesn't even seem like that long ago, but
right.
there's still a huge difference in how kids are treated now, I feel like, on campus.
Than just a little bit ago.
Yes.
And
so
true.
It just wasn't that controversial, I feel like, to be a conservative. It was to a certain extent, but it wasn't that big of a deal.
So then how'd you get into politics? What was the idea behind that, and how did you get thrust into that role?
After I went on the dating show, I knew that going forward in my radio career, I wanted to be even more open about my views. So okay. I started to do that because the dating show encouraged me. And wow. I started...
That's cool.
Yeah, and I started feeling a lot of pushback behind the scenes from my managers for what I was sharing on the air, and I felt like there was a huge double standard between how I was being treated and how my co-hosts were being treated that were on the left.
Yep.
And they were telling me, we're not supposed to get political, we're not supposed to talk religion, but they wouldn't tell my co-host that was like a pink hat wearing feminist.
She
could talk about whatever.
Right,
I couldn't say anything.
Right.
And I knew it was going to get worse and worse, and it was basically, okay, I can either quit and try to pursue something else, or I'm going to get canceled.
Right.
I could feel the pressure rising in the environment that I was in. And I just started really praying about it. And I was like, God, I know that I want to do this show where I cover pop culture still, like what I'm doing, but I want to be able to talk about my conservative beliefs. I wish that there was something, a place that I could do both. And right as I had been really praying about that and thinking maybe I'm just going to have to quit and just, you know, pray something's going to happen. I didn't know if I'd have to move back in with my parents or what in the meantime. But I just knew that it was getting to be such a toxic environment to stay working at the company I was at as a conservative.
Did they call you or did you meet Charlie or how did you get into politics?
So Charlie and Turning Point DM me on Instagram.
Okay.
They say, we're a huge fan. You know, you've come to our events before because I'd gone to some Turning Point events.
Okay.
They said, you know, you're super loud and proud on social media. We love it. And we'd love to fly you out to Phoenix to tour our headquarters and meet Charlie.
Perfect.
And I told
them.
When
was this? How long ago was this?
This was in May of 2019.
Okay. All right. So it's fairly recent.
Pretty recent. So I've been doing politics for a year and a half. It's been so incredible. I mean, I had a vision just to do the show, and then it quickly morphed into, I felt like I was being called to create more than just a show with Turning Point. It was to create a community for young women.
Oh, that's great.
And I feel like young women are we're really ignored in the conservative movement.
Yeah.
Almost all media, almost all shows, I think primarily target older men in the conservative movement.
Interesting.
And I just,
because
I thought of myself as a listener and as a consumer and a young girl in the conservative movement, I thought, who do I have that I feel like is my friend that's another girl?
So is that your demographic, 15 to 25-year-old young women?
Yes, yeah, it is. And we are a 75% female audience.
I love it. I love it. That is fantastic. So what are some of the things they say to you about, hey, this is my home, thank you for building this community? What are the types of feedback you get?
Oh, so many people that just feel like, I've always been conservative, but I just didn't feel like I had a place in the conservative movement. I was too scared to share my beliefs because I feel like I don't fit in. I do like keeping up with the Kardashians, but I'm also conservative. You know, I like small government, but I like the Kardashians. Like, where do I go? Where do I talk Bachelor and talk about why socialism
That's
sucks?
Too
like,
funny.
There wasn't anything like
that. What is pop culture? Like, what's the definition of pop culture?
I mean, I would say pop culture is, you know, entertainment. It's what we watch. It's what we listen to. It's what's trending. It's the entertaining things that we consume and everything that we see on social media now, too. All of that is pop culture.
Is there kind of an age limit for pop culture, like when it becomes unpop?
No way. I mean, everybody says this.
Does it go up to like 45? 3.5 or something, after that, you just have to recycle back to the earlier part of it to be into what we call pop culture.
Some people say to me, you know, I don't know if I really like pop culture, if I'm into pop culture, can keep up with it. And I'm like, do you listen to music? Yeah. Do you ever watch TV? Yeah. Then you're consuming pop culture. And the thing is that...
What if you just watch shows that are like 14 years old? Then you're really hosed.
Are you talking about yourself?
Oh, I would. I just know people like that.
I just know. I have a friend.
I have friends. They're like that. All right. So pop culture doesn't have an age bracket, but let's be honest, it kind of sort of does, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it kind of goes after the young people because, as I understand it, it really does feed into really what, back in my day, the concert culture. That was kind of the leading, bleeding edge of pop culture. So for you, you're still very young, and at some point, you're going to be past whatever that age is. So how do you keep pop culture interesting and fun and exciting as you move past that bracket of what people consider to be pop culture and kind of cool. What is kind of your strategy to stay in touch with whatever pop culture happens to be now? Because it's obviously changing a lot.
Absolutely. I think about this all the time. And, you know, part of this is you do worry about, like, am I going to age out and not become relatable? Mm-hmm. I think part of the way that you don't do that is you have to be a fan of the same stuff and literally be consuming it at the same rate as your audience.
Right.
I'm not just reporting on it and I have no idea what's going on. I'm just, like, reading news articles,
right,
and I don't actually have, like, feelings about it, or I'm not a fan of these,
right,
celebrities. I am just as much of a fan,
okay,
and avid watcher of all the same
stuff.
So the
reason you can do it is it's in your soul.
Exactly.
And you can birth it because it's in you.
I love it.
Yeah,
you have to love
great.
It, I think, to really talk about it.
That's really good. I think that's great. And that's why you're so good at it. And you've got so much energy and passion for it. So what's going on right now that you see that's just kind of middle of the road? It's not hurtful. It's not necessarily helpful, but it's just fun. What are some of the things in pop culture now?
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. I would say that one thing is Gen Z now has really, they've taken the front here of the culture war. It's not millennials.
Right.
So Gen Z is the age group that's currently in high school and college.
Right.
And they
go up to about 26, I think.
Correct.
25, 26, something like that.
And so I'm the very low, I'm like a young millennial.
Right.
And then there's Gen Z after me. And so Gen Z now, they're the ones deciding fashion trends and things,
yep,
like that. And they've decided that you should not part your hair to the side now.
Oh.
You can only part your hair in the middle.
Now that's kind of, would be a real problem for me.
Yes. They do not like side parts. They only like middle parts. And skinny jeans are uncool. So things to know.
Wow. So you're already feeling it. I mean, you're already seeing that.
Oh, yes.
This is happening. All right. So you are a conservative voice. And you're doing that in pop culture in a world that most people don't understand the same way you do. Because it seems like most people that are good at that tend to be liberal. I mean, most people that are artists, it seems, mm-hmm, are liberal. But you're conservative. So in addition to being really good at it, you've got to feel called to it. There has to be something in you that felt like, I'm called to this venture. Do you feel that way?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you feel like God called you to be a part of this?
Yeah, I definitely felt that, especially with the whole, you know, path that led me here. I totally felt like it was the Holy Spirit because everything was so easy. Every door that opened,
wow,
it was so easy. The transition of moving across the country, I knew not,
that's great.
I didn't know one person here. I don't
that's
have family
great.
Here. I don't have friends. And everything with Turning Point reaching out to me right after I had been on my knees praying about
that's
it.
Fantastic.
I knew it was a God thing.
That's great.
And, you know, I feel like, you know, when you talked about, like, are you worried about aging out and all those things and not being relatable, I don't feel that way because I'm a fan and I feel like then the audience trusts me.
Yeah.
I don't seem like an outsider talking about people,
right,
that they care about.
Right.
I'm just
something that's in you.
Yeah.
So it's just coming out of you.
And you know, I'm a massive Taylor Swift fan. I'm the biggest Taylor Swift fan. She's the background on my phone. And so
that's
not
great.
Like when I trash Taylor Swift's political views when she's,
right,
spewing off all this left wing,
right,
stuff. It's not like I'm just dragging her and I, you know,
love
I don't
when
care.
She's performing.
Yeah.
And
but
she,
I do love her and I,
yeah,
and I think that she has good intentions. She's just lost. And so people, you know, I think,
I wonder what she would say to that.
Well, you know, she would say the same thing about me, I'm sure.
You know, here's something that's really interesting. You're young and you have passion and you have already converged. Now, convergence is something that we talk about in the executive coaching world. And so if I'm, I don't do it anymore, but if I'm coaching a young executive and let's say his peak could be a CFO. And right now he's a financial controller. He loves numbers and finance and all that stuff. And I can coach him to where his talents can merge with the ideal job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he doesn't like some of the things about this job and this job, but once he gets to CFO, he loves it. Now he's converged. So most people hit convergence well into their late 40s or 50s.
Wow.
And some people never hit it, ever. You've hit convergence, what we call convergence, at 28.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
This is exciting. I mean, well, even younger, you were 27 when you came on board. That's just really exciting. And so you found a way for what you're really good at to connect to what is in high demand. How does that feel?
Well, when you put it that way, I feel very overwhelmed. I have nothing to attribute it to except for God. And if you would have told 18-year-old Radio Alex that eventually she would be in, you know, working in politics,
right.
I would have absolutely laughed.
Would you?
You know what I mean? I would never.
You wouldn't thought it was doable because you were starting to think conservative already.
Well, I was conservative, but I just, you know, in my mind then, I didn't understand how vast the conservative movement was.
Okay.
I thought, you know, if you're in politics, then you're running for office or working on a campaign.
Right. No,
I didn't know
that
there was so much to do in the conservative movement.
Right.
And, you know, conservative media, besides talk radio, just wasn't really a thing then.
Right.
You didn't have all these social media stars on that were conservative.
That's true.
So
that's
I didn't
true.
Know. It was just so otherworldly to me, you know, to imagine myself doing this. Imagine a show that is pop culture in the conservative movement. And my show's the first of its kind. It's never existed. So
it's
I definitely would have not
There's really
have
nothing else like your show out there, is there?
No. It's the very first of its kind. There's nothing else. But, you know, I hope, and people ask me this all the time, would I be offended if someone tried to copy me or do, you know, a show like politics? And I always say no.
It'd be kind of hard to do.
But, like, I want there to be,
you're a unique one.
Yeah.
And that's good.
But I want there to be a lot of people in pop culture that are conservative, making content,
making
movies.
Contribution.
Absolutely.
So what obstacles did you have? It seems like you didn't have hardly any, but what obstacles have you had?
I would say one, especially since starting the show, you know, actually it hasn't been the left that has been hard
really?
On me. It's been the right. It's been establishment conservatives.
They can't handle the pop.
They don't understand how it's helping
no.
some of them. And so, but when
I can't understand how they wouldn't.
Right. And that's how I feel.
And
but I
makes
think.
Makes no sense to me.
I think on the surface, this is why my show does a great job of reaching young people that would be apolitical or, you know, more liberal is because it looks very inviting. And it's a pop culture show primarily that just happens to have a conservative host.
It's totally inviting and it brings anyone in. So I got a question for you. When I look out, I see students that have reason to be afraid. I can't believe what they go through now. I interviewed some folks at the Turning Point conference in Florida, but I couldn't believe how almost all of them had an answer to the question, have you ever been persecuted for your faith? And they almost all said yes.
Yep.
It's all over the country.
Yep.
So do you see kids as primarily feeling optimistic or afraid or...
I think everyone is really scared of, am I going to get a job? If I do get a job, how long will I have it before I'm canceled when they find out who I voted for, that I'm, you know, I have a concealed carry license anything. I think that is the scary thing. But I think that the good thing that will come out of this is I think we're going to see a lot of young entrepreneurs starting now conservative businesses so that we're working for each other.
You can certainly get a job at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, that's true. And Chick-fil-A, right? Those are our two safe places. And Turning Point USA. That's it.
Right.
But I think that that's going to be one thing that comes out of it is we're going to start to build our own institutions. We're going to go neck and neck in culture. We're going to go neck and neck in education, healthcare. We're going to start having more people. And listen, there's power in numbers.
That's true.
So I think they're starting to
realize.
We have
a lot of numbers. They just
don't
want it to be believed that we have a lot of numbers.
Exactly. And I think so. That's really the thing. Some of us are going to have to fall on the sword, right? Some of us are going to have to get canceled to save our friends.
Right.
We're going to have to go through that and be loud to help all these other people. Because once one of us gets a little bit loud and raises our hand in class and says something and challenges the narrative, then you're going to have five or six more. You're probably not the only conservative in your class. You're just probably the only conservative that's willing to say something.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Right.
We're not alone. We know that that's not
it's
true.
It's just you have to stand up, believe what you believe. And speaking of belief, you've got a deep, abiding faith in Christ, which is awesome. When you're going around to these different Turning Point USA speaking events, what is your sense of the opportunity, and I know that Turning Point's not a ministry in and of itself, but what's your sense of the openness now for young kids to place their faith in God?
Wow. It's definitely, you know, organizations like Turning Point are making that easier than ever before. We're helping with free speech causes on college campuses so that Christian conservatives especially, we, you know, are allowed to speak our beliefs.
Right.
So I would say that's the biggest thing, is encouraging these kids and equipping them with skills and knowledge on, okay, what do I need to do if I am being discriminated against for my religious or political beliefs?
Right.
You know, whether that's hiring an attorney, all these different things.
Right.
We help them every step of the way, like providing them information on, like, okay, here's how we can fight this.
Yep.
If your school's giving you trouble on starting a Turning Point chapter,
right.
Like there's all of these different things.
It's
so
good.
I think we are helping that a lot. There's a lot of incredible stories that are coming out of kids, like I said, that are willing to speak out in class and encouraging others.
Would you call yourself, just looking out realistically, all the folks that have been canceled? I mean, Trump gets canceled.
Right.
Larry Elders gets deplatformed. All of the things that have happened, we can't even list everything. Do you feel overall optimistic? Do you think it's going to be a slump for a while before we can kind of get our bearings and get back to having a true voice? Or do you feel like there's going to be a real pendulum swing and it's going to be quick, like 6 months to a year, we're going to have our voice back?
Well, I think the worst of it was definitely right after the whole Capitol storming.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so many people
right.
got kicked off.
Right.
And I think as much as it sucks, we have to play by their rules a little bit on social
sure,
media.
Sure, sure, sure.
Just so we can hang on.
Sure.
And then I think, whether that's changing law or whatever, that's when we need to help start fighting back to protect free speech on these platforms.
But I don't think you ever didn't play by their rules. I mean, you what did you do that – I mean –
But playing by the rules, you know, you get flagged on Facebook if you say something like boys are stupid.
Okay.
But I mean, something so minor like
okay.
that, they're flagging.
Okay.
So it's just like,
you know. It's really thought police off the charts.
It's off the charts. It's beyond just talking about, of course, election integrity and saying phrases like that,
right.
that gets you flagged.
Right.
But I'm saying beyond that, it is so severe. And I know this because we started a Facebook group for all the Q-servatives
right.
To be able to have a place to chat and stuff. And the things that they flag in there, I'm like, I would never in a million years
right.
think that this is anything.
There was a nothing there. Anyway.
But because this is what happens. It's a slippery slope, right? When you start
right.
restricting some
yep.
speech, all of it goes. And so you're seeing stuff that's getting censored that you never would have thought, even on the left, that they would censor.
Sure.
But they're doing that now. So I'm just like, I'm really strict on the rules in our group because I'm like, I don't want us to get deleted.
Right.
Let's just hold out and then let's hope that we get
yeah.
some, champions like in the
yeah.
Senate
no,
GOP or whatever
wise,
that are going to fight.
I think that's a wise move. It doesn't do you any good if you're not able to communicate
yeah.
your message. So thanks for listening to my podcast once in a while, by the way. Tamara tells me you like it.
I do like it.
Why do you like it?
I think, well, there's something, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but there's something fatherly about it. And
that's
like
fine.
A,
that's,
but
what
not,
it, that's what it's attempt. That's actually my goal.
But it's like, it feels like I'm listening to a mentor and like giving great advice. It's easy to listen to. And I you break everything down in such an easy way, and I'm not somebody that I don't like to get like extremely intellectual. I mean, I'm hosting the pop culture
sure,
show. My
sure,
show's very
sure,
silly, you
sure,
know.
Sure.
It's just not my personality.
Sure, sure.
But I still want to learn, and
yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I listen to conservative shows, and it's like so over my head. I can't even absorb, sometimes what they're saying because they're just trying to be too wordy or whatever. And I just feel like it's very easy to listen to. It's not too long. You know, everything's broken down very easy.
Well, thanks. Well, the goal really is to reach that Gen Z or millennial, young millennial population. So it's really your age group and under. The idea is that we can continue to promulgate freedom principles, but to give them something to work with,
mm-hmm.
to give them something to have that they can sink their teeth into, but again, that it's not too.
And that's what I feel. I feel like you're not talking down. You're giving us tools.
That's the goal.
To help build our own. But I feel like a lot of times when you listen to someone older doing a podcast, especially in the conservative movement, it's a lot of like, this is everything you're doing wrong. It's like Gen Z and millennial. But I don't feel that way from this show.
Right.
And so I think that is really powerful.
Well, thank you. That actually is the goal. Because my real heart is to see people successful and for them to latch on to those freedom principles.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be a blast is if some of the folks that have listened to it come out of there, go run for Congress and make it. I think this would be a great time. I think if you're 25, 26 years of age,
yep.
you could run for Congress right now. And in 2022, if there's ever a time that you would have a chance of winning, I really think by the time the pendulum swings fast and sharp. And I can tell you that there's a real high likelihood you could get elected. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you want to run, but I'm just saying anybody in that age group.
Run for Congress, get involved in school board, become a precinct committeeman, all of that.
Exactly. It's great. Well, Alex, it's been so fun to have you on our show today.
Thank you.
If we could just give everyone something to go home with from Alex, what would it be? What would you want to say to everybody?
I would want to say that don't listen to the lies of the left that there's a stereotype of being of what a conservative is and what you you have to be as a conservative woman, especially. A conservative woman can be anything. We can have any interest. We can be any color. We can be anything that we want to be. Those stereotypes are harmful and they don't help. And, you know, this is the thing. This is how we change the culture. We show them that we're not some scary monster that, like, you've never seen before. Like, we are the same. We like the same things. You know, we're cool. We go to the same concerts.
Cool.
We do all
you
the same things. we're not this scary. Like, a conservative is not as scary as you think.
Right.
And we just need to normalize conservatism as much as possible, and I hope that politics is doing that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so great. Everybody, Alex Clark, host of Turning Point USA's Poplitics. Catch Alex and Poplitics on Instagram, YouTube, and your favorite podcast host. Thanks for being with us, and God bless you.
Hi, I'm David Farah. Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast, The Barry Farah Show, Culture Shift. Click subscribe now to be sure you don't miss an episode. Share this podcast with your friends on social media and give The Barry Farah Show your 5-star rating. Check out today's show notes below this episode and at thebarryfarahshow.com. This podcast is also available in video format at The Barry Farah Show on YouTube. See you next time.